everyone knew him in Nazareth. It was his hometown. He had grown up there. And on the Sabbath day, when he had returned, as was his previous custom, he went to the synagogue to join in the town's worship. They gave him a scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled it, he read a selection, and he sat down. It was his first sermon in his hometown. The eyes of all were fixed upon him. We read in the text. We can understand the thoughts of this audience. Some of us surely remember the first time we preached in our hometown church. The father and mother, aunts and uncles, and cousins by the dozen in the church, looking at us, all eyes were fixed upon us. We felt somehow we might vanish at the intensity of this gaze, and we had to preach. Well, our credentials are those of the church, of church order. But the credentials of our Lord, according to our text, were a little different. We read, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And the report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. This reputation has preceded him. And so they looked upon this first effort among them. What would this fellow townsman say to them? Well, knowing our frailty, when we are up against this kind of stressful moment, we can understand how expectations rise and the fulfillment demands to be produced. In his case, however, expectation and fulfillment met. And this is perhaps the great difference between him and us. He was the fulfillment. He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I am the one." Can you imagine? These people have been brought up in the tradition of Judaism, zealous for the temple, zealous for their nation, hearing this word. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It must have been like a bombshell. No wonder that we read, they were going to lynch him afterwards. Take him out to the top of the hill on which the city was built and thrown down. You see, in the case of our Lord at Nazareth, it would seem from the report of St. Luke that the expectation of his contemporaries had been much too low. Perhaps our expectations at our end are much too low at times. We forget that we are to tell people, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You are participating in the event, though it took place for the first time almost 2,000 years ago. Its continuation, its reiteration is just as valid today. The prophecy has been fulfilled for you today. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But he came with particular credentials, we read. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Something rather extraordinary. And we may at first glance think that somehow we must be endowed with a separate, let's say, load of spiritual ammunition before we can say this. Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Not at all. The power of the Spirit by which we can say the very same thing is the faith which the Holy Spirit bestows upon us, the message which we convey. Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And at this point, expectation and fulfillment meet and become wedded. Because at this point, we must speak of the faith of Christians. They must accept this message for themselves and believe it. Of course, this is what the hometown people of Christ would not do. They couldn't accept it because they saw him as they thought. Excuse me. He really was, as they had known, wasn't he our own hometown boy made good? Now, after all, we know what Nazareth is. Nothing much good can come out of it, and he pretends to be something bigger than we are. Who is he anyway? And so, furthermore, when they thought that he was reversing the expectations of Israel by saying fulfillment of the prophecy centers upon him, this was nothing else but blasphemy. And Moses had commanded them to stone blasphemers. Expectation and fulfillment in our ministry means that we must continue to say to people, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. We don't say, we do not say that somehow we have caught this message on our own. We don't say that it was a news report from the news media. No, we do the same thing that our Lord did when he read the scriptures, Isaiah, and said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. We do the same thing that he did with the people of his time when he argued from scripture and said to them, I am the fulfillment of the scriptures. We must do the same thing that the apostles did on their journeys and base our preaching on the scripture, saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And the Holy Spirit, who is the power behind all Christian preaching, can give us this power. First, by giving us the record of faith, and secondly, the wisdom. The wisdom which can come only from above, conveying this word. And we pray at the same time that he may give our audience the ability to receive the word, to hear it, because only then is it fulfilled for them when they accept it, when they hear it. The benefits do not come to them unless it's fulfilled also in their acceptance. It's a great mission, and we remind of this on this season of the Epiphany of our Lord, because after all, that is our glorious mission. May it always be thus, and may we praise our gracious Lord in all our preaching. Let us do so right now by singing the Te Deum.